And now we come to what we know is going to be so good today. I want to bring Minister Baldwin up, and we're going to have her introduce us to the speaker of the moment, which is Ashanti. So come on up, Minister.
I'm having a proud mama day today. Because I get the opportunity to see God's awesome work forefront, forehand. You know, I don't know what this means to you, Ashanti, but it means a lot to me to watch you not only grow in the Lord, but to kind of follow in your mama's footsteps. So I'm having a proud mommy moment today. But she is a beautiful young lady. She's 13 years old. She got the mindset. A teacher told me one day that she had an old soul, and I attribute that upbringing not necessarily in me, but in my mother. She spent a lot of time with my mother, so she's very well-rounded, very gifted, multi-gifted, and I just love the fact that she is a God-fearing woman at such an early age. I do not push her. Shanti goes to church by herself. She loves the Lord. By herself. I'm sure she watches me and everything, but she really is about her own person, and to see her be a woman of God is an awesome thing. So I introduce to y'all Miss Ashanti Clinton.
My name is Ashanti Clinton, and my title of my sermon is How Long Would You Let Hate Kill You? I want to thank the Lord for giving me an opportunity to speak. Also want to thank Pastor, co-pastor, for letting me speak. And thanks to my mom for the support. I'm going to pray. So the Lord can give me all the words that He wants me to say, and they just come out of my mouth from His mind. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Nobody has promised another day, but thank you for waking all of us up this morning. Just give me the words to speak what you want me to speak, and thank you for everybody who's coming to support me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, I'm going to be reading out of the book of 1 John 3:15. John 3:15 says, Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So basically what that means is, when you say you hate somebody, it's considered as a murder. And we all know that murder is a sin. It's one of the Ten Commandments. So, we all know people that we don't really like. Like, some of the things they do, they don't like, or some people might even hate or dislike us. But we don't want to intimidate them. We just want to kill them with kindness and show them your love still. Like, because if somebody hates you, you're not only killing yourself, you're also killing somebody else. And that's a murder. And a murder is a sin. So, now I'm going to say a little story about hate, somebody hating me. My current best friend, Sophia, I thought she hated me because I would always mean mug her, but it wasn't on purpose. So, like, But now we're best friends, and she never really hated me. It was just the fact that I always mean-mugged her. That's the kind of things that I do. But it wasn't intentional, but I did it. And I didn't need to really do it. So, yeah, don't hate people. Because then you're killing yourself and other people. And that's the thing.
Spiritually, we can be murderers when we hate somebody in our heart. Because if we say we hate somebody that God created in God's image, then guess what? Really, we're murdering that person. And we murder them by things we do and also with our lips. So we just thank God for that. And you know what? I tell you what, I'm going to put these young folks to work, and I think I'm just sit down and be fed. But excellent job. Excellent job, Sunday. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right, and we're going to go ahead and now and let we've heard from the daughter. Now we're going to go ahead and bring the mother up, Minister Baldwin, Keisha Baldwin, and let her just let the Lord use you. Amen. And so I tell you what, we're going to do this a different way. Shante, I don't want to put you on the spot, but would you introduce your mother before she comes up?
I am Minister Kish's daughter, and I'm going to introduce her in her time up here, and I'm really proud of my mom, and she's really proud of me, so I introduce Minister Kay Baldwin to you.
Appreciate it. I praise God from whom all blessings flow. I told Pastor that I'm going to have a conversation with him after this because I really haven't gotten up in front of people in almost 2 years. So I need y'all to bear with me for a second. Where are my specs? I think they were already. They're probably right there by my keys. Oh, here we go. Sorry, y'all. Old age gets to you. I was given an assignment to speak out of the book that Made Whole Ministries have been going through for their leadership, which is 9 Things You Simply Must Do. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to kind of reiterate some of the things that I read over and just do bullet points if y'all okay with that. And prayerfully, God will tie it in spiritually for me. For chapter 9, we're going to talk about the principle, don't play fair. When I first initially read this scripture, read the book, the chapter, and it talked about don't play fair, I was like, that's not the Christian thing to do. You know, Christians are supposed to play fair, you know, and all the things that go on around us. And playing fair means that you're being a good person and you're doing the right thing. But the author took the analogy of don't play fair to a different level that I thought was highly interesting. And actually, when I got finished going through it, I was able to say, you know what? That's how Jesus does things. Jesus don't play fair. Jesus does not play fair at all. In good things, he doesn't play fair. This particular chapter of the book talks about not playing fair in a positive way, in reference to how we are towards other people during situations that is happening around us. And it talks about us being what the author considers to be a deja vu person. The key points that it outlined was about, we think that when we're in a relationship, whether it be business, you know, church-wise or otherwise, we think that if you do me a certain way, I'm going to do you a certain way. So if you treat me well, I'm going to treat you well. Or if you talk bad to me, I'm going to talk bad to you. That makes relationships bad. It actually says that even being agreeable in good terms was actually bad, that we should focus ourselves on being better than what we're getting. Now, that concept doesn't escape us, but it escapes us when you think about doing it in a fair way. We think, okay, if you know, tip for tat, but what does God tell us? He tells us to turn the other cheek and stuff like that. So, you know, but when it comes to a relationship that you're in, like a loving relationship, like the relationship that you have with God or your husband or your children, okay, Shanti's being really good, and so I'm going to do good things because Shanti's being really good. Okay, but then Shanti does something bad, so I'm going to pull back my affection from her. Guess what? That's playing fair because it's tit for tat. But when you don't play fair, as the author explains, Shanti does something good, I'm going to do good for her. Shanti does something bad, I'm going to deal with that, but I'm not going to withdraw my love. I'm not going to pull back that attention. I'm going to keep on giving. Even though she's not giving to me like I need her to give to me, I'm going to keep giving to her. Business the same way. You know, you working with somebody, this person is the boss, okay? And the boss says, I need you to do A, B, C, and D. Well, I'm just going to do this because that's what my paycheck says I have to do. And so that's all I'm going to do. So how do you expect that relationship that you have with your boss to go to the next level if you're going to give him exactly what you're going to give? Imagine it with your relationship with God. If God gave you what you gave him, where would you think you would be right now in life? Honestly, God exceeds what we give to him every time. And what would Jesus do? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do what Jesus does. So, to go into that part of it, the things that he says are a good way to keep in mind on how to be a person who doesn't play fair in our relationships, rather it be relationship with God, church, family, or otherwise, is give back better than you're giving. We just talked about that. The other one is get rid of anger. Now, some people feel like it's okay to be angry. I feel like that. It's okay to be angry. And even in the Bible, it actually says be angry and sin not, right? Okay, but imagine you are angry. You can be angry, but don't use that anger to attack the situation or the person that is around you. That's difficult for me because, you know, when I get mad, I'm ready to pop off. And so you think about what's going to happen next at a later date, you know. But this book and this book is telling us that we need to be mindful for that, of that, even toward God. You know, you never think about, oh, people say, oh, you can't be God. I'm sure everybody in this room has been got pissed off at God before, you know, like, okay, why is this happening to me? Yeah, we understand, but your response is, so it's like, okay, God, I don't understand why this has happened, but okay. Deal with your regular situations in life the same way. I know this is happening. I know this is wrong. I know this is not right, but it's okay because I'm going to deal with people and life and situations. I'm not going to play fair. I'm going to exceed and I'm going to go above. The other one is ask what is helpful. When a situation is at its bottom end, like in my house, when my daughter upsets me, I don't want to talk no more. And I don't want to talk for the rest of the day. Is that helpful in this situation? I'm thinking it's being helpful because I'm not feeding her. But maybe I am feeding her just by my pure silence. I'm not offering anything helpful to make the situation even better. Now, I'm not going to tell us to go to God and say, God, this situation is like this. I need you to do this. I'm not saying in that manner, so we're going to find it from that way. But with your relationships with people, because God, people see God in us, you have to be mindful of that. Make sure that in every situation you can be helpful, no matter how drastic or dramatic things are, okay? The other one is get past your own needs. I don't want to work over there because it's cold in that corner. I prefer to work over here. But Miss Summer, so-and-so, you know, she don't say nothing, but every time you see her, she's sitting with her. But I need to be in a warmer space. Is that being helpful? No. Is it making the situation better? No. Is it exceeding what people's expectations of us is? No. Is it playing, not playing fair? No. You're just the same kind of, you know, going around the same way. So we got to exceed that. We got to back off. Not to say that God doesn't protect you when it comes to your needs. I can testify and say that when I pay attention to what other people need and what's going on with other people, more so than myself, God takes care of me too. The other is love takes a person to a higher level. Now that's speaking to my heart today too. Sometimes in situations with people, with God, even with God dealing with us, but with people, you know, they get on your nerves, you know, you don't necessarily want to spend a lot of time with them. You know, even the Bible talks about sometimes that's the person you want to be around. When Jesus walked on this earth, when he went and he preached, he didn't preach to all the upper echelon. You know, he was telling them about themselves, but he got down, you know, with the people that were considered lower than him, that didn't have much, or, you know, that were rough around the edges. You know, if you notice that the people that God used mightily were rough around the edges, you know, there wasn't nothing really perfect about them, but his love is what made the things that they did so great. So could you imagine having a person that's like, oh, but then, you know, I'm going to love them, Lord. I'm going to love them. And then watch the love of God come upon them and watch them flourish. So that's, to me, that's like key things, especially when you deal with your children, because your children can, you know, take you there. Also, give the opposite of what people give to you. People give you lemons, make some lemonade with some ice in it, you know. And never expect anything, you know, for anything that you do for other people either. These are like key principles that, you know, come with everyday common sense living things, but when you take them and you attribute them to your spiritual life and how God deals with you, you get a better understanding about it. And then it helps you when you deal with other people, you know, and you kind of put yourself in their shoes too. And the other is what goes around comes around. You give extra, you love hard, love big, and go beyond, then happens is that comes back around. And I believe that's where God steps in at. This book also gave some scripture that I actually did not touch on, but if you don't mind, I would like to read them to you just really, really quick. There's like three or four of them that I thought were awesome. And it helped me to understand, because when I first read this, I was like, oh God, I don't even know what this is talking about. But it says, going back to some of the things that I just said, if you love those who love you, what is that credit to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what is that credit to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be paid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. That comes from Luke 6, 32, chapter 6, 32 through 35. And then Romans 12, 21 is one that I actually particularly love. I'm not going to read the other one. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that whole scripture right there sums up this entire chapter. Amen? We good? All right.
You know, I'm going to have to do a lot more sitting down and receiving. Amen. Because, you know, as you were ministering, even Shante, the daughter, ministered first, and then the mom, Minister Baldwin, ministered, God was speaking to me. He was speaking to me, and I was getting edified and filled up. So I just thank God for your willingness and obedience to, you know, be used by God. And I'm like this. You know, I can do it all myself if I have to. If nobody wants to follow me, I'll get it done. But guess what? I believe in letting people be who they are, giving you a chance, because every one of us have gifts that are within us. You know, gifts have got to be given out before there'll be increase. Because think of it this way. How will you ever have any faith in God if you've never been through the trials and tribulations? The book of James tells us that. He says, think it not strange concerning the fiery darts that come before you to try you, because he say it worketh patience. It worketh patience. And then what happens is, Andre Crouse, in a song, he said it better than I can ever say it. But he said it this way. He said, if I didn't have any problems, I never would know that God could solve them. I wouldn't have any faith in what God could do. But see, trials come to make us better. Trials come to make us better. And then one thing about it, I found out that a lot of times when I think I can do it by myself, guess what? When I've tried everything that I know to do, and it's not any better, situation's not any better, I throw my hands up and say, God, I need your help. And God said, that's what I was waiting to hear. And then he shows up and he shows out, doesn't he? Because he knows when we're dependent on him, then he can work on our behalf. But see, God wants to bless us, but he never wants us to take the credit for being blessed. So, I thank God for each and every one of you. And it's my desire, to have leaders, to develop leaders. No, I don't want you to be a follower. Followers don't really think, they just do what they're told. But I don't want to have followers. I want to have leaders. I want to have leaders. I want to have people that are following the plan of God for themselves, and then they're making things happen. And then, you know what? You got to get out of the boat. You got to get out of the boat before you can actually say, well, I know God, what God can do. Now, if when you stay in the boat, you can be critical of what other people did. Well, I could do that better. I could do it. But guess what? When you come here, stand up here, and the microphone's given to you, you're going to find out, hey, it's not as easy as I thought it was, And guess what? Everybody can be great, but it takes faith to get out the boat. Guess what? Peter got out the boat. When he saw Jesus coming to walking on the water, and they were fearful. They thought it was a ghost. Peter asked Jesus, said, Lord, is that you? He said, yes, it's me. And he said, bid me to come. And so he said, come. And Peter, when he didn't have his eyes off of Jesus, he was walking on the water. And all of a sudden, he got in the natural, and then he started sinking. But what did Peter do when he started sinking? He cried out, help! He didn't say, oh, Lord, the Son of the Most High God that liveth forever, the Alpha and Omega. No, he said, help! And guess what? God answers short prayers. Did you know that? That religion, in fact, Jesus even talked about the people, the religious folk that had those long, flowery prayers to impress somebody else. But he said, God don't hear you through your vain repetition. But he said, a silent prayer, a quick prayer that you pray to the Lord is sometimes some of the most effective prayer. So, I want God to use each and every one of you that are here in this in Made Whole Ministry. Because as we're getting made whole, then guess what? You know how you really accelerate that process? By giving to others what you don't have. You don't wait until you're completely well to go out and be a blessing to somebody else. But what you have deposited in you, somebody else needs. Somebody else needs. So I expect each and every one of you in Made Whole Ministry to go out. And, just like Shantae, she took faith, a leap of faith. She told me and Pastor Hicks last Sunday, she said, could I have a word from the Lord? Could I give it? And we said, yes, sure. I was overjoyed when I heard that. And didn't she give a good word that all of us could use? Everybody can get mad at somebody and get caught in the flesh and somebody can do us wrong and stuff, and we can hate them and we want to get back with them. But guess what? It takes the love of God to take the high road, isn't it? It takes the love of God to take the high road. I work with Minister Howard, Beverly Howard. We work together at IRS, an Internal Revenue Service. Now, if anybody asks us where we work, we're not even gonna say that. We're gonna say we work for the Treasury Department, because we know traditionally people hated tax collectors, right? So we ain't letting everybody know we tax collectors. We're going to say we work for the Treasury Department. And we're telling the truth, but we ain't telling the whole truth. But anyway, a lot of times in the workplace, I thank God for my government job. It, it, Because I know every 2 weeks the direct deposit is going to come. Amen? So I thank God for my government check that comes without fail every 2 weeks. But guess what? Working for the IRS, is that heaven? It's close to it, but it ain't quite heaven. You know, we got people that steal your lunch when you put it in the icebox. Now, how could that be heaven? We got people, people that if you leave your purse unattended, they'll take your money and your credit cards out of them and use them. Now, that ain't heaven, but I thank God for that good government job. Amen. But then we got haters, too. Guess what? She's a child of the Most High God. So she represents her daddy good. She's doing what she gets paid to do. Other folk that don't want to, they don't want to do nothing, but they want to get a paycheck, they be hating on her because she does what she's supposed to do. Who she thinks she is? She thinks she's better than her? No, she don't think she's better than anybody, but she knows she's a child of the Most High God, and she knows who she represents. So you're going to have haters. So guess what? You don't give them back what they give to you. Minister Ballin, when she was talking about the principle about people who don't play fair, we do not, on purpose, we do not play fair. We going to give tit for tat. We give the undeserving, the ungrateful, the unthankful things, the people that they don't deserve. We give them what they don't deserve. You know why we do that? Because we realize that people that are hurting, people that don't go to church, people that don't read the Bible, they don't have the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart. They can't give what they don't have. We realize that. So what we do, we take the high road and we give them what they don't deserve. And guess what? I don't care if they were hating you, just like Shante said, they were hating. You know how you make a hater, but your friend, you know how you make them come in? Yes, sir. You start loving them. You give them the love of God. If you see that they are at lunch and they don't have them, nothing to eat, you share your lunch with them. And then when other people talk about them, you defend them. You don't get in that conversation. You don't get in that conversation, gossip stuff, but you defend them and you speak highly of them. And that person will see that and it'll get back to them because guess what? You reap what you sow. Now, Minister Baldwin talked about, you know, she talked about you give to people the opposite of what they actually give to you. Now, I heard this. Now, this sounds really profound when I heard this guy say this. Pat Robinson said it this way. And he was really talking about the scripture that says you reap what you sow. God is not mocked. You reap what you sow. But he called it the law of reciprocity. And I said, ooh, that's deep. The law of reciprocity, right? And he had my ears, and I listened to him. I said, man, that's deep. What is that? And then he broke it down. He said, he says this. He said, you reap what you sow. You give people what they don't deserve. And guess what? When you give out love, guess what comes back to you? Love. When you give out forgiveness, guess what comes back to you? Forgiveness. So I'm quick to forgive. You know why? I'm quick to love other people. You know why? I need a lot of forgiveness. I make a lot of mistakes every day. Every day I don't wake up with the intention of making errors and making mistakes. But I know in a given day, if I breathe long enough and live long enough, guess what? I know I'm going to make some mistakes. I'm going to make some mistakes, not intentionally. I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. I'm going to do something that I shouldn't have done, not intentionally, but I need grace. I need grace. You know what we do? We judge other people by what they do, but we want other people to judge us by our intention. But see, is that right? No, that's not. That's not the love of God. So we judge other people by what they do. Well, D told me that he was going to do X, Y, and Z, and he didn't do it. And you know, and I want to throw him in prison. I want to lock the key and be the warden and the judge, jury, and executioner. But guess what? I told D I was going to do something, and I didn't do it. You know what D told me? He said, well, he was just busy. I give him grace. You know what? So he's giving me, he's walking in the perfect love of liberty. He's loving me and giving me the love, and he's giving me grace because he knew my heart. See, God looks at our heart. God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. Man looks at the outward appearance.
Close to home. I need you to stop now.
But you know what? You know what? Shante started this. Minister Baldwin added the icing on the cake. And guess what? Really, when all of us is what we said today, all of us is what we said today, it's nothing but the Holy Spirit. It's nothing but the Holy Spirit. See, you know, I don't know what's on your mind. I don't know what you're going through, but the Holy Spirit does. And one thing about it, I know this. When you get up and you have a desire to be used by God, all you got to do is open your mouth and the Lord will fill it. You don't even need to rehearse what you need to say. But all you need to do is open your mouth and the Lord will fill it. And so what God just wants, you know what? God has the ability to speak to every one of us on an individual basis because He knows us. He knows us. He can see our heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows every intent of our heart. And He is the Word. You know, He is the Word. Jesus was the Word incarnate. And the Word of God, you know what? When I examine myself, I look pretty good. I'm all that in a bag of chips. But guess what? When I examine myself through the Word of God, I found out, Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord. In fact, the more I get in the Word, you know what I do? It points out to me just how little I know. I don't know nothing. God, you want to use me? I'm ignorant. I don't know nothing. I don't even know how to tie my shoe. But Lord, you want to use me? You want to use me? Lord, hold it, Lord. You must mean Minister Beverly Howard. You want to use her. Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. No, guess what? None of us are worthy. But God, all He wants to do is wait for us, say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me. See, He has the ability. God has the ability. He has the power. He has the anointing. But it's the anointing that breaks every yoke. Every yoke after. All He wants to say, son, daughter, I've been waiting to hear that. I've been waiting to hear. As a pastor, I've been waiting to hear you say, can I speak? I have a word that I want to bring before the body. I've been wanting to hear that. And when I heard that, me and Cecilia, we did the happy dance when y'all left. Amen? Because we realized that y'all receive from the Lord, and you hear from the Lord, and you have something to give to somebody else. And the more you give, the more that God's going to give to you. He doesn't give stuff to lazy people. He doesn't give stuff to lazy people. He don't give stuff to people that won't get out the boat. They're the critics, but they won't get out the boat. They can tell you how to walk on the water without drowning, but guess what? They never got out the boat. But yet they can criticize you. They can criticize you. Uh-huh. Yeah, they can talk only about you. Well, did you hear him? He split them verbs and adjectives and stuff, and ooh, he just butchered the queen's English. Okay, but guess what? They won't get up there and get in the hot seat and do better. But I guarantee you give them the microphone, they'll find it. It ain't as easy as I thought it was. It ain't as easy as I thought about it. My sister went to Toastmasters. Now Toastmasters, they when you go to Toastmasters, they teach you to speak more effectively, and then also they critique you. But guess what? You subject yourself to that so you can be better. But you can be better. And they'll lovingly tell you the truth. They'll lovingly tell you the truth. But guess what? When you do that, you become better through the process. When you walk through that process, you become better through the process. So I just thank God for the day. I thank God for each and every one of you. And I thank God for you wanting to be used by the Lord. And guess what? You're going to be getting some calls. And guess what? I'm not going to be doing all of it. I expect what's the positive in you. No, you're going to do it some more. Amen. You're going to do it some more. Yeah, I know. And that's why. But here's the thing about it. I don't want y'all to just depend on me and Pastor Hicks. I want y'all to depend on the Lord. See? I want y'all to create followers. I want y'all to create followers and then turn those followers into leaders. See, I want y'all to be leaders. See, leaders lead people. Leaders share what God deposited into them, and then they equip other people to do the same thing. So I want everyone. I see you through the eyes of God. I see you through the eyes of God. I see each and every one of you through the eyes of God of what you would do if you would obey the will of God and walk out the potential that God has for you in your destiny. That's what I see. I don't see failure. I don't see people that they're not going nowhere. I see people loaded. And they need an opportunity to get what's in them deposited out. But see, God always gives increase. He always gives increase to people that use what they have. It's called the law of reciprocity. Thank you, Pat Robinson, for thinking this. But that's a powerful principle. Did you know that I can have an idea in my mind that I'm going to be able to do 100 push-ups without stopping? Now, I used to do that when I was in the Army. Maria will tell you. I used to be, when I was in the Army, I used to do 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, without even thinking about it at any given time. And I could do it. Well, it's been a couple of years since I've been out of the Army and since I did push-ups. But guess what? If I want to do push-ups and I get that in my mind that I'm going to do, guess what it's going to take? One push-up at a time. One push-up at a time. One push-up at a time. Then week after week, after month, I'll be able to get to the place where I'll be able to do 100 push-ups without even breaking a sweat. I did it before in the past. So guess what? When you have muscles and you don't use your muscles, you know what happens to those muscles? Apoptosis sets in. So what means that they start dying. What's the term for it when you don't use your muscles? Anybody? What's the term when they start getting weaker? It's a term they use. Yeah, where they turn flabby and they use their elasticity and they use their power, they use their strength. So what happens is, what you don't use, you lose. I think I'll say that again. I like that. What you don't use, you lose. Jesus even said it. He said it this way. And remember the parable of the talents. He gave one talent. He gave another one. Two talents. He gave another one, five talents. And then he required of his servant, said, okay, come on. It's been some time, and I want you to give an account of what I've given it to you. So gave one talent, we're going to go in reverse. The one that he gave five talents, what happened to the one that he gave five talents? Double. So what, 10 talents, right? Gave 10 talents. Then the one that gave two talents, what happened to her talent? Got four, right? Okay, and then, now D, I don't know why it seemed like I'm picking out. I'm not picking out. But this is the one that had one talent. Now, what did he do with the one talent?
Put it in the ground.
So he put it in the ground. D, you mean I gave you one talent, and now all you give me back is one more talent, the same talent I gave you? Well, why did you do that?
I just thought it was a good idea.
Okay. So you say that you knew that I was a wicked master, and that I didn't deserve it, and everything, and so that's why you hid your talent. You were fearful of me, and you hid the talent in the ground because you knew I was a hard taskmaster. Well, see, guess what? The one that said that, he didn't even know God. That's not a picture of God. God is love. He loved us before the foundation of the world. He loved us. So he didn't even know his master. So you know what the judgment was on them? Okay, so since you say I'm wicked, out of the same words that you spoke, you'll be judged. And he took the one talent from him and gave it to the one that had 10. Now, see, in the, you know what the world would say? The liberal folks would say, that's not right. You know, you gave the poor D only had one talent. You took his one talent and gave it to one that had 10 talents. That's not right. You should have gave D you should have took her 10 talents and gave him to D so he could have something to live off of. But that's what the world said. But see, the God didn't look at it that way. God wants you to be faithful over what he's given you. And so guess what? Threw him and cast him out of darkness, and they were weeping and gnashing their teeth. But do you understand that God wants you to use what you have that he's deposited into you? Because if you don't use it, there won't be increase. You'll lose what you have. You'll lose what you have. Look at Samuel. Well, I'll put it like this. Not Samuel, but let's look at Samson. Samson was anointed to be a deliverer for the children of Israel. And he knew that he had the power of God. He didn't cut his hair. He was a Nazarite. He knew he didn't cut his hair, and he didn't drink wine or anything like that. He took a vow. And so every time he needed to be a deliverer for the children of Israel, the power of God would come upon him, and he would be able to do mighty things. And the Bible didn't say Samson was a big, strong, strapping guy, nothing, but the Spirit of God would come upon him, and he would be able to do mighty things. So when the Philistines, when he had given this, you know, he lied in, you know the story, he lied in Delilah's lap, and she cut his hair and everything, and just like he did always, when the Philistines, she said, the Philistines are upon you, and he shook himself, and he thought, oh, I got that power. But guess what? He shook himself. He didn't have that power. So it'll be just like that. We think we have it. We haven't. God has given us things, and then we ain't using it. And then when we need the power of God to come upon us and get us out of the situation, we'll shook ourselves and find there's no power. So we got to use what God has deposited in us. So anyway, but I thank God for each and every one of you. And I think, like I said, in the days ahead, we're going to be testing y'all to speak a word, and we want the gift to be developed and to come to fruition. They all. I learned to watch my son, and I know y'all probably heard this before, but I like to hear it myself. So I'm gonna say it again. But my son came to me when he was a teenager and said, "Dad, I'm a motivational speaker." And I say, and I was going to Junior's Christian Center then, and he called all the deacons, cornered them, the minister cornered them, got them so they couldn't go away, and said, "I'm a motivational speaker." And back then he was just Brother Allen, but he's Minister Allen now, Pastor Allen. But anyway, he got him, and Pastor Allen said, "That's good, son. That's good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." And then he found this other minister over there, and he went, "I'm a motivational speaker." You know how it is when you get passionate and excited about something. And he said, "I'm a motor." And they said, "Oh, okay, that's good." And then he told me, "Dad, I'm a motivational speaker." And I said, "Okay, that's good." And then, but anyway, it wasn't long. He kept saying that. He kept saying that out of his mouth. It was no manifestation, no physical manifestation whatsoever. But he said, "I got something on the inside of me that I needed to get, that other people need to hear." Had he made mistakes in the past? Yeah, he had. But guess what? He had a moment where he came to himself. The prodigal son, when he wasted all of the goods that his dad had given him, and then he realized that, hey, I'm eating pig food. He said, "But if I go back to my daddy's house, at least he'll give me food to eat and I can be a hired servant." And he rehearsed that thing on the way back to his daddy, the prodigal son. But guess what? When he got ready to rehearse what he said, his dad wouldn't even let him speak. His dad stopped him and put a ring on his finger, put a robe on him. So guess what? Junior came back to himself. And then when he came back to himself, I'll put it this way. Junior became a person that I realized, this is not my son. This is not the person that I raised. He's doing stuff that we didn't teach him to do. But all of a sudden, he had a come to Jesus meeting. After that, he came back to himself. And guess what? Then he wanted to be a blessing to somebody else. He wanted to help somebody else. He knew he had greatness on the inside, but he wanted to deposit back to somebody else. He said, "Maybe I can help somebody not make the mistakes that I did." So anyway, make a long story short, not many days after that, he began to get meetings. And every time he would go speak and everything, I would take off from work or whatever, and I would go listen to him speak and everything. And I kept hearing the same thing, the reoccurring theme. He wanted to bless somebody and help somebody else. So God began to increase him. And it became, the speaking engagements became so frequent that he had to turn down a lot of them. He couldn't be everywhere at one time. So he had to turn down a lot. But I've said all of that to say this, that a man's gift will make room for you. A man's gift will make room for you. If you have something on the inside of you, and you have a burning desire to get it out, you know what? God's going to increase that. God's going to increase that. He's going to give more opportunities to be used by Him. So, and each and every one of you, guess what? The ones of you that are quiet, think that you don't have anything to say, guess what? I'd rather hear from you. Can I be real? I'd rather hear from you. You know what? Because you know what? When somebody's talking all the time, guess what? They probably ain't got a whole lot to say. Because they just like to hear themselves talk. But when somebody is quiet, shy, and reserved, I want to hear from you. Guess what? When you're quiet, Tanisha, you're quiet. You don't talk all the time. But we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you because you have something that we need to hear. The body needs to hear. Carrie, you got something inside of you that we need to hear. And it has to come out. When it comes out, then it'll just blossom. It'll just blossom. And so, like I said, we already know that she's a talented actress, right? I went to that play that first time, Aida, and I watched it. I said, wow, she just blew it out the park. But then when I went to the second time and heard her, I said, man, how did she get that thing better? She fine-tuned that thing like a violin, a well-tuned violin. And I said, I didn't think it could get any better. But see, when you have a platform for your gifts and talents, then God will, and you're not afraid to give God the glory for doing it, God will see that you have more opportunities. You have more opportunities. But don't despise small beginnings. That's what Paul told Timothy, his son in the Lord. Don't despise small beginnings. Everybody got to start out small, right? But guess what? When you're not afraid of starting out small, then you hone in on those talents and gifts and ability that God has given you, it won't be many days hence before you won't stand before common people. You'll stand for kings and rulers. They'll seek you out for the wisdom that you have. Because guess what? There's a problem that you were created to solve for somebody. And God will place you in the presence of those people that they have. God put David in the presence of Saul. He had an evil spirit that followed him and tormented him. But David played skillfully on his harp, and the evil spirit left him for a season. Now, who orchestrated that? God did. God did. God did. When David went before out to the armies, his daddy told him, he said, look, take some bread and some cheese and stuff out there and to your brothers. They're in the army. He had three brothers that were actually in Saul's army. And then Goliath, he was defying the armies of the living God and said that he wanted to challenge. He said, I'll fight anyone in you in Israel. And if I beat you, then you'll be our servants to us. He said, but if somebody beats me, then we'll be your servants. And so everybody was scared of Goliath. You know why they were scared of Goliath? He was a giant. He was not, at least 9 to 12 feet tall. And he was so big that his shield was so heavy that another man had to carry it. But you know what David did? You know what David said? He said, I come to you. You come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you with, in the name of the Most High God. Most High God. And so what David said, he said, you uncircumcised Philistine? He said, today I will cut your head off and feed your bodies and the Philistine's body to the fowl of the earth. And Goliath got insulted. He said, you tell me I'm a warrior, and you send a little old boy, a 17-year-old boy, a ruddy old boy, with a stick to beat me? What, you think I am a dog? But guess what? What David said out of his mouth, because he believed in the Most High God, it came to pass. It came to pass. But see, David was in training for years when nobody saw him. When a lion tried to steal his daddy's sheep, the Spirit of God would come upon David, and he would give him the power to beat the lion and kill the lion. When a bear tried to steal his daddy's sheep, nobody saw him. He's on the backside of that mountain. But God had him in preparation for being a king, building character in him. So he could have said, well, that's just one of my daddy's sheep. I might get hurt or something. I let him have one sheep, but guess what? He let him have one sheep. Guess what? The next day when he got hungry, he'd come back and want another sheep. Another sheep. There would have been no end to it. So, but be where you are, and the gifts and talents that you have inside of you, continue to let God develop those, and then God will increase them. So anyway, we're out of time. I'm going to be mindful of the time, but I just want to say good things were said today, powerful things that were said, but I want to leave it open for everybody, as we do often, everybody to be able to speak and